all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So we'll chant Jai Radha Madhava, as we normally do in the beginning of these classes. Make sure I got everything. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Randhu Madhuva Kunya Bihari. Gopi Janavallabha Giri Badadhavi. Gopi Janavallabha Giri Badadhavi. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana, Yashoda Nandana, Raja Jana Ranjana, Yamuna Tira Manachari, Yamuna Tira Manachari, Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunja Bihari. Jaya Randhu Madhuva Kunja Bihari. Gopi Janavallabha Giri Badadhari. Gopi Janavallabha Giri Badadhari. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana, Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana, Yamuna Tira Banachari, Yamuna Tira Banachari. Jaya Randhu Madhuva Kunya Bihari. Jaya Radhu Madhuva Kunya Bihari. Jai Om Vishnupad. Paramahansa Parapatikacharya Olsa Teta Satishi Shimad. His Divine Grace Avaya Charanada Bhaktivedanta Goswami. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. His confounder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Goti Vaishnav Vrindi Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya. Prabhu Nityananda Sridvaita Gadadha Srivasati Gaur Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopi, Gopinath, Sayam Kundrada Kunda, Giri Govardhan Kijai, Vrindavan Kijai, Maturam Kijai, Chakravatthasami Kijai, Munamai Kijai, Shrimati Vilasadevi Kijai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Kijai, Go, Premananda, Hari Hari Go. All glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premananda. Maum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Vudre Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Namini. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharini Devashesha Srinivani Paschacha Deja Tarani. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. Jai Srila Prabhupada. So, now we're going to continue with our Bhagavad Gita study, and actually we are on the 15th chapter, making rapid progress through the Bhagavad Gita. And we're going to start sharing the screen. Chapter 15, Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Okay, hold on a second. Alrighty. Chapter 15 is called The Yoga of the Supreme Person, and the short introduction is as follows. The ultimate purpose of Vedic knowledge is to detach oneself from the entanglement of the material world and to understand Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who understands Krishna's supreme identity surrenders unto him and engages in his devotional service. So, of course, surrender, oh my God, that's a very heavy word, surrender. In other words, let's use a very softer term than surrender. It gives their heart to Krishna and out of love serves Krishna. That's what surrender means. Krishna doesn't want surrender out of force. Or other words, otherwise he could force us. And Krishna doesn't want to force us. So this word surrender is oftentimes misunderstood. So let's start with text 1. Sri Bhagavan Vacha Urvam Mulam Madasakam Ashvatam Prahurav Yiyam Chandam Si Yashapar Nadi Yastam Veda Savedavit. Very interesting analogy here. Please pay attention to this analogy. So someone is going to comment about the voice. It's your birth name. Anyway, whatever. Anyway, Yastam Veda Saveda Vit. So this is a very interesting analogy that tells us about the nature of this material world, why everything is the way it is, why everything causes us misery, why nothing works out. Okay. Because we got it all backwards, that's why. Okay, here we go. Sri Bhagavan Vacha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Urdhva Mulam, with roots above, downwards, Shakam, branches, Ashvatam, abandoned tree, Prahu, it is said, Avyam, eternal, Chandamsi, the Vedic hymns, Yasha, of which, Paranami, believes, Ya, anyone who, Tam, that Veda knows, Saha, he, Vedavit, the knower of the Vedas. So translation, the Supreme Personality of God had said, it is said there is an imperishable banyan tree that has its roots upward and its branches down and whose leaves are the Vedic hymns. One who knows this tree is the knower of the Vedas. So for those of you who don't know what a banyan tree is, because I think many of you in America and maybe other places may not know, in Europe, may not know what a banyan tree is. A banyan tree is a tree that basically has roots coming from the branches. And it goes under the earth and destroys many buildings, and it can cover 1 acre, 2 acres, 3 acres, 5 acres of land, or perhaps even more. In our temple in Hawaii, in the backyard, there's this gigantic banyan tree. It covers the whole backyard. I mean, it's an amazing tree. Anyway, look it up on Google. You'll be able to see what a banyan tree is. So it's a very complicated tree and actually destroys many buildings. So we'll talk about this tree in a second. Purport. After the discussion of the importance of Bhakti Yoga, one may question, what about the Vedas? It is explained in this chapter that the purpose of the Vedic study is to understand Krishna. Therefore, one who is in Krishna consciousness, who is engaged in devotional service, already knows the Vedas. So what do we mean by Veda? Of course, Veda means knowledge. So generally, when people talk about the Vedas, they're talking about the Vedic Sanskrit literatures that come from India. More precisely, the Vedic scholars many times only consider the four Vedas to be the Vedas, the Rig, Sama, Atharva, Yajur Veda to be the Vedas. However, the Vedas themselves consider more to be Vedic knowledge. The Vedas themselves say, Itihasa Purananam, Panchama Veda Uchite. The Vedas say, not only these four that I just mentioned are the Vedas, But the Itihasas, the histories, Puranas, which deal with many different subject matters, like the Bhagavad Purana, they're also considered Vedic. In fact, looking at it from a larger point of view, any knowledge that is, let's see, perfect knowledge can be considered Vedic. In one sense, Prabhupada even said one time the Bible is Vedic or the Quran is Vedic because it talks about God. So anyway, so one who is in Krishna consciousness already knows the Vedas. So we're going to talk about how the Vedas point out that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The entanglement of this material world is compared here to a banyan tree. From one who is engaged in fruitive activities, there is no end to the banyan tree. He wanders from one branch to another. The tree of this material world has no end, and for one who is attached to this tree, there is no possibility of liberation. The Vedic hymns meant for elevating oneself are called the leaves of the tree. The tree's roots grow upwards because they begin from where Lord Brahma is located, the topmost planet of this universe. If one can understand this indestructible tree of illusion, then one can get out of it. This process of extrication should be understood. In the previous chapters, it has been explained that there are many processes by which to get out of the material entanglement. And up to the 13th chapter, we have seen that devotional service of the Supreme Lord is the best way. Now, the basic principle of devotional service is detachment from material activities and attachment to the transcendental service of the Lord. The process of... let me just turn this thing off so we don't get disturbed by it. Okay. The process of breaking attachment to the material world is discussed in the beginning of this chapter. The root of this material existence grows upward. This means that it begins from the total material substance, from the topmost planet of the universe. From there, the whole universe is expanded with so many branches representing various planetary systems. The fruits represent the results of living entities' activities, namely religion, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. Now, there is no ready experience in this world of a tree situated with its branches down and its roots upward. But there is such a thing. That tree can be found beside a reservoir of water. We can see the trees on the bank reflect upon the water with their branches down and roots up. In other words, the tree of this material world is only a reflection of the real tree of the spiritual world. The reflection of the spiritual world is situated on desire, just as a tree's reflection is situated on water. Desire is the cause of things being situated in this reflected material light. That's in reference to our desire, okay? Because if our desire is not to please Krishna, is not to be Krishna conscious, then our desire manifests our understanding of this material world, which is the banyan tree. One who wants to get out of this material existence must know this tree thoroughly and thoroughly analytical, analytical study. Then he can cut off his relationship with it. This tree, being the reflection of the real tree, is an exact replica. Everything is there in the spiritual world. The impersonalists take Brahman to be the root of this material tree. And from the root, according to Sankhya philosophy, come Prakriti, Purusha, and the three gunas. Prakriti, of course, means the material nature. Purusha is the person or all persons, but usually the Supreme Person comes from this, and they think the Supreme Person is a manifestation of this material energy. And then the three gunas and the five gross elements. This is Sankhya philosophy, which we mentioned before. Then the ten senses, dasa indriya, the mind, etc. In this way, they divide up the whole material world into 24 elements. If Brahman is the center of all manifestations, then this material world is a manifestation of the center by 180 degrees, and the other 180 degrees constitute the spiritual world. This material world is a perverted reflection, so the spiritual world must have the same variegatedness, but in reality. It's like a mirror image. That's another example we often use. The Prakriti is the external energy of the Supreme Lord, and the Purusha is the Supreme Lord himself, and that is explained in Bhagavad Gita. Since this manifestation is material, it is temporary. A reflection is temporary, for it is sometimes seen and sometimes not seen. But the origin from whence the reflection is reflected is eternal. The material reflection of the real tree has to be cut off. When it is said that a person knows the Vedas, it is assumed that he knows how to cut off attachment to this material world. If one knows that process, he actually knows the Vedas. One who is attracted by the ritualistic formulas of the Vedas is attracted by the beautiful green leaves of the tree. He does not know exactly the purpose of the Vedas. The purpose of the Vedas, as disclosed by the personality of God in himself, is to cut down this reflected tree and attain the real tree of the spiritual world. Now, why does someone not understand the purpose of the Vedas? Let me use an example or like an expression that we're familiar with. One cannot see the forest for the trees. What does that mean? One is in the forest, and he looks at a tree, and he looks at another tree, but he doesn't see the totality of the forest. Unless, of course, he takes his quadcopter and takes a picture from up high. So, in the same way, we see different things in this world, but we don't understand the purpose of it, the totality of it, how it is created. We just see individual, instances of different things in this world. And we cannot understand anything just by seeing a part of it. For example, if you look at a machine, let's say a car engine, and you just examine one part of it, let's say a spark plug, and you don't see the totality of it, then you don't understand the car engine. It's as simple as that. That's why the scientists will never understand this material world, because all they can see is a few parts of this material world. They certainly can't even see the subtle elements, you know, mind, intelligence, and false ego. They see to a certain degree earth, water, fire, air, and ether to a certain degree, but beyond that, it's not possible. So, and only certain instances of those particular material elements can they see. So therefore, they can't see the whole thing. So Krishna is looking at this material world and created this material world from a higher perspective, and he tells us what the purpose is. And also the Vedas are the same thing. The Vedas have many different injunctions, like there is an interesting statement many devotees use, different shlokas for different folks. What does that mean? A shloka, or a shloka, to be exact, is actually a verse in one of the Vedic literatures. So according to what Vedic literature you look at, you will read a shloka that may apparently even contradict another shloka. And why is that? Because there are different people, different situations in this material world, and they require different advice. Another example Prabhupada used is if we go to a pharmacy, or for those of you who are from New Zealand, Australia, we go to a druggist. That means a pharmacy. You'll see so many different pharmacopoeia, if you want to use a big word. You'll see so many different medicines. And one medicine will make the heart grow faster. The other medicine will make the heart grow slower. And then one medicine will take your blood pressure down. Another one will make it go up. Really contradictory medicines. Well, got your news, that the main purpose of all these medicines is to make you healthy. But people are approaching the standard of health or the standard of unhealthiness from different angles. It's practical. So the Vedas have something for everyone who is at different, or people who are at different levels of spirituality. From the grossest of the gross materialists to the highest of the highest spiritual, excuse me. What do I mean grossest by the grossest materialists? Let's take the injunction in the Vedas that if you want to eat meat, yuck. Let's say you want to eat meat. All right, so there are Vedic injunctions. All right, you want to eat meat? Fine, offer the goat to the goddess Kali once a month, chanting this mantra, Mamsa Kadati. Don't quote me on that. So, you want to drink liquor? This is, I think it's called a Sadamini ritual or something like that. And the Vedas, all right, so do that. You know, at least you're accepting some, let's say, higher authority or some control over your behavior. And Prabhupada also gave the example that the government may license liquor stores just for controlling the consumption of liquor, even though, of course, this is not the case, but even though government may not want people to drink liquor, actually in India, the government doesn't want people to drink liquor. That is true. In America, the government does want people to drink liquor. Why? Because they can make tons of money and enjoy life in that way. So, anyway, so there are injunctions for the lowest of the low. And for the highest of the highest, you know, pure devotees of Krishna, preach Krishna consciousness, like Krishna says in the Gita, that he who is most dear to me, who teaches this Bhagavad Gita to others, and there will never be anyone more dear to me than him. So this is a very high level. That injunction does not apply to someone who is eating goat, an offering to the goddess of Kali. And an offering of the meat to the goddess Kali doesn't apply to someone who's preaching Krishna consciousness. I have to admit, I don't do that. That injunction has a... So, of course, in the Mahabharata, a very clear statement is made in the discussion between Yudhisthira and Yamaraj. Taka pratishta shuti na vibina. The Vedas are so, let's say, multi-branched that you cannot understand the absolute truth by simply approaching the Vedas, because it's just like a big branch of, I mean, big tree with all these leaves, you know, you get tangled up in the leaves. So you have to, Mahajaniyena Gatasa Panta, you have to approach a pure devotee to understand the purpose of the Vedas. And also approach Krishna, who is going to explain to us later on the purpose of the Vedas in this same chapter. Text 2. Adats Chorvam Prashishtas Tasya Sakya Guna pravidda vishaya prabalaha adasya mulyan anushantatani akarmanu bandini manusha loke ada downward cha and urdvam upward pa shrittaha extended tasya its asakha branches guna by the modes of material nature pravridaha develop, vishaya, sense objects, pravalaha, twigs, ada, downward, cha, and mulani, roots, anusantatani, extended karma to work, anubandhini, bound, manusha, locate in the world of human society. The branches of this tree extend downward and upward, nourished by the three modes of material nature. This is a very poetic expression here, the twigs and the objects of the senses. This tree also has roots going down, and they are bound to the fruit of actions of human society. So purport, the description of the banyan tree is further explained here. Its branches spread in all directions. In the lower parts, there are variegated manifestations of living entities, human beings, animals, horses, cows, dogs, cats, etc. These are situated in the lower parts of the branches, whereas in the upper parts are higher forms of living entities, the demigods, Gandharvas, and many other higher species of life. As a tree is nourished by water, so this tree is nourished by the three modes of material nature. Sometimes we find that a tract of land is barren for want of sufficient water, and sometimes the tract is very green. Similarly, where particular modes of material nature are proportionally greater in quantity, the different species of life are manifested accordingly. Now, Prabhupada one time talked about how there's three modes of nature, and you do 3 times 3, what do you get? 9. And 9 times 3 is 27, so you do 3 to whatever power it is, and you get 8,400,000 species of life, because we're talking about the various permutations and mixtures of the three modes of material nature, which yield us everything in this world. As the example, which I've given 100 times before in this class, the three basic colors can yield any of the colors of the spectrum, if you mix them in the right way. The twigs of the tree are considered to be the sense objects. By development of the different modes of nature, we develop different senses. And by the senses, we enjoy different varieties of sense objects. The tips of the branches are the senses. And there's a picture of this, which I'm not going to show you right now, so you can actually see this more clearly. But this is actually like metaphorical. The tree is very metaphorical. It's not that there's an actual tree like this, but it illustrates the philosophical points that are being made in this chapter. The ears, nose, eyes, etc., which are attached to the enjoyment of different sense objects. The twigs are sound, form, touch, and so on, the sense objects. The subsidiary roots are attachment and aversion, which are byproducts of different varieties of suffering and sense enjoyment. The tendencies towards piety and impiety are considered to develop from those secondary roots, which spread in all directions. The real root is from Brahmaloka, and the other roots are in the human planetary system. We're talking about the reflection right now. After one enjoys the results of virtuous activities in the upper planetary systems, he comes down to the earth, renews his karma or fruitive activities for promotion. This planet of human beings is considered the field of activities. Interesting. In the previous chapter, you had the body was considered the field, but right now the planet is our field of activities. Anyway, these are metaphorical statements. Pretty soon we're going to figure out how to get out of these things. Not these two texts, but the text that comes afterwards. Na rupam asyeha tatopa labhyate nanto na chadir natya sampratishta asvatam enam suvidhuda mulam asanga shastrena dridena chitva tatapadam tat parimargitavyam Yasmin gatana nivartanti bhuyaha tameva chadyam purusham prapadye yatha pravitti prashrita purani. Na not rupam, the form, asha of this tree, iha in this world, tata also. Upalabhyate can be perceived. Na never, anta, end. Na never, cha, also. Adi, beginning. Na never, cha, also. Sam, pratishtha, the foundation. Ashvatam, banyan tree, enam, this. Su, viruda, strongly. Ulam, rooted. Asanga, shastrena, by the weapon of detachment. Tridena, strong. Chitva, cutting. Tata, thereafter. Panam, situation. Tat, that. Parimargitovyam has to be searched out. Yasmin, where, gata, going, na, never, nivart, tanti, they come back, buya, again, tam, to him, eva, certainly, cha, also, ajam, original, purusham, the supreme personality of Godhead, prapadye, surrender, yata, from whom, pravartihi, the beginning, pashrita, extended, purani, very old. The real form in this tree cannot be perceived in this world. No one can understand where it ends, where it begins, or where its foundation is. In other words, hopeless to try to figure this thing out with your own little tiny brain. But with determination, one must cut down the strongly rooted tree with the weapon of detachment. Ooh. Therefore, one must seek that place from which, having gone, one never returns, and there surrender to that Supreme Personality, Godhead, from whom everything began and from everything has extended since time immemorial. So in other words, somehow or other, we got to get out of the entanglement of this tree, and that's called detachment. But according to the Bhagavatam, Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Chinayati Asubhai Ragyam Gyanam Chaya Haitukam. Have hope, because if you render service to Krishna, then automatically you will get causeless Vairagya. Vairagya means freedom from passion or the desire to enjoy this material world, or detachment from this world. And your detachment will not be simply the negation or having a negative attitude towards the things of this world. Because if you have a negative attitude towards the things of this world, you are just as attached. As Prabhupada would often say, attachment and aversion are two opposite sides of the same coin. So we're not interested in aversion, saying, ooh, this material world is horrible, horrible. It's not horrible, horrible. There's this interesting statement. Avishwam purna sukhayate. What does that mean? That one who is actually Krishna conscious sees the whole material world as blissful. Now, why do you see it as blissful? Because what is there? Birth, death, disease, old age here, you know, why is it blissful? Well, if you understand the purpose and you understand how Krishna's in charge, and you understand it's a manifestation of Krishna's love for you, and if you understand that you can be Krishna conscious even here and be detached from what's happening in this world, it's extremely blissful, and it's an instrument for becoming Krishna conscious. You're given all the ingredients to become Krishna conscious. Vishvam Purna Shukayate. It's full of happiness for a devotee. So, in other words, we don't get a negative attitude towards this material cup. That was the word I was looking for. No cup, a negative attitude towards this material world. We think it's wonderful because Krishna made it. Krishna made it for a purpose. So it must have a wonderful purpose. Krishna doesn't do anything without a wonderful purpose behind whatever he does. So we think it's a wonderful place, but it's not a place for us to enjoy except in Krishna consciousness. Anyway, so detachment means that we become attached to Krishna. And that verse from the Bhagavatam I just quoted, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita. One who engages in devotional service gets such a higher taste that he and she, or she, is no longer interested in this material world. It's just boring. Like if you're enjoying yourself, then everything else appears to be boring. Like sometimes, and I've given the example many times before, that when I used to travel around the world, which I will do in the future by Krishna's grace, please get rid of the COVID. So when I travel around the world, or have traveled around the world, people sometimes want to take me to different places that are famous so I can see them. Sometimes they want to take me to the Louvre in Paris, or to the Harbour Bridge in Sydney, which most devotees in Fiji actually have a picture of the Harbour Bridge close to their altar, or the Sydney Opera House close to their altar. I don't know why. Don't ask me. I don't know about these people. So, and when I go to these places, the people, the devotees say, would you like to go? And I say, why? What's the happiness there? What's the happiness? Seen it, been it, been there. Sorry. Seen it, been there, done it. How many lifetimes have you seen bridges and whatever, you know? Even spiders make bridges. What's so good about that? So anyway, so that's detachment. So purport. It is clearly stated that the real form of this banyan tree cannot be understood in this material world. Since the root is upwards, the extension of the real tree is at the other end. When entangled with the material expansions of the tree, one cannot see how far the tree extends, nor can one see the beginning of this tree. Yet one has to find out the cause. I am the son of my father. My father is the son of such and such a person, etc. By searching in this way, one comes to Brahma, who is generated by the Garbha Dakshay Vishnu. Now, I don't think you'll be able to do that except by referring to Shastra. You know, sometimes people send their swab from their cheeks in to have it analyzed genetically to see where they came from, where their roots are, and it never comes out with Garbha Dakshay Vishnu. So you can't do this by, let us say, material investigation. Finally, in this way, when one reaches the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is the end of research work. One has to search out that origin of the tree, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, through the association, here's the key, of persons who are in knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then, by understanding, one becomes gradually detached from the false reflection of reality, and by knowledge, one can cut off the connection and actually become situated in the real tree. Another example I'll give is from my childhood. Once when I was a little boy, my mother took me to an amusement park, and in that amusement park was this Hall of Mirrors. And anyone who's been in a Hall of Mirrors knows, you know, you get in it, you're supposed to come out, but you can't really tell where the doorway is, because the doorway is a mirror, or appears to be like a mirror, and the mirror appears to be like a doorway. So anyway, so I was, they put me in it somehow or other to have fun, and I remember it was very traumatic, even though I was 6 years old or something like that. You know, my parents traumatized me. So they put me in this thing just to see, you know, if I could figure out how to get out. So I just kept running into the wall, running to mirrors, of course. And eventually I sat down, believe it or not, and I started crying. And as soon as I started crying, they came and got me out. So same thing with this material world. You know, we're so proud that we know better. And so as soon as we start crying out, help, Krishna sends guru. And the guru helps us get out. It's like a maze. Not amazing, or maybe amazing, but it's like one of these mazes that you're just trapped in. And then if you know the way out, we have someone lead you out, that's even better. That's really where we are. The word asanga is very important in this connection because the attachment for sense enjoyment and lording it over the material nature is very strong. Therefore, one must learn detachment by discussion of spiritual science based on authoritative scriptures, and one must hear from persons who are actually in knowledge. Yep, better get detached. And now, what's the benefit? You know, oftentimes when we do a seminar, the first thing we start off with is something called a WIFM. Now, for those of you who don't know, a WIFM is an acronym for what's in it for me. So what's in it for you in Krishna consciousness is not simply the detachment. What's in it for you in Krishna consciousness is immediate relief from all distress. Your life becomes auspicious. And so many wonderful qualities arise as a result of that. And of course, one becomes extremely happy, able to attract the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even though it's a very rare thing. You get the rarest of the rare things by doing that. A gem, a diamond, whatever. I'm trying to give some material comparison. So that's what's in it for you. Eternal happiness, bliss, knowledge. And you just give up some of the things that are inconsequential, some insignificant, miserable things. You give up. All you have to do is give up your misery. So as a result of such discussion, in the association of devotees, one comes to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then the first thing one must do is surrender. There's that word surrender. Love him. Hear about him. What does surrender mean? You hear about Krishna, you fall in love with Krishna, and you do it from your heart. If you're doing it forcefully, that's not surrender. Surrender means manasa deha geha yokishumorarapilam to your party, nandakishore. Your mind, your body, your words, everything belongs to you, Krishna. I belong to you. I'm your property. I don't own anything. As we're going to hear from the next verse, I'm just giving you a clue. The description of that place, whence having gone, one never returns to this false reflected tree, is given here. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the original root from whom everything is emanated. Dugetnya, aham sarvasya prabhu. Remember that verse? I'm the source of everything. And then once you understand Krishna's the source of everything, what do? According to Bhagavad Gita, what's the next? Oh my God, you don't remember. Machita, magata, prana, bodhyantas cha, parasparam, katyantas cha, mam, nicham, tushanti cha, ramanti cha. Talking about the nutshell verses here. 8, 9, 10, 11. 10th chapter. Remember we went over that some time ago? Machita, you enlighten, you talk to the devotees and talk about Krishna and get great satisfaction and bliss by doing that. And you don't have to worry. Why? Tesham satati yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam vidami buddhiyogamtam yenamam upiyantite. Because Krishna will give you the intelligence by which you can come to him. That's true. Tesham. So and then, hamagyana jam tamaha. Anyway, so then Krishna destroys with a shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance in your heart. Krishna takes care of everything. To gain favor of that personality of Godhead, one only has to surrender. And this is the result of performing devotional service by hearing, chanting, etc. That's all you have to do. Hear, chant, remember, worship, dance in ecstasy. And what is the difficulty, as Prabhupada said? He is the cause of the extension of the material world. That's Krishna. This has already been explained by the Lord himself. Actually, Prabhupada quoted the same verse that I just quoted oh my God, I must be on the right track. Aham Sarva Shuprabhula. Which we mentioned, 10.8, I'm the source of everything. And then the succeeding board, the verses that come after that. Therefore, to get out of this entanglement of the strong banyan tree of material life, one must surrender to Krishna. As soon as one surrenders to Krishna, one becomes detached automatically from this material extension. And that's the Bhagavatam verse I said. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Bhakti Ujita Chunayati Asubhayagyam Gyanam Chayada Hoitakam. One gets causeless knowledge and detachment from the material world. And so text 5, this is what I was promising you, the next text, gives you some hints on how to proceed, not just a general surrender. Niramana Mohat, this is an important verse actually. Jita Sangha Dosha, Avyatma Nitya Nivritta Kama, Advandvar Vimukta, Sukha Dukha Samgyar, Gachantya Mudha, Padam Avyam Tat. Ni, without mana, false prestige, moha, and illusion, jitta, conquered, sangha of association, dosha, the faults, adhyatma and spiritual knowledge, nitya in eternity, vinivrittas, disassociated, kama from lust, dvandvahai, from the dualities, vimuktaha, liberated, sukha, dukkha, happiness and distress, samgyahi, named Gachanti attain Amudaha, unbewildered Padam situation of Yam, eternal Tat. That. Those who are free from false prestige shall remember these are injunctions for us. You want to get out. Prabhu or Prabhi. These are different steps you got to take. Free from false prestige. What is that? Prophet adoration distinction, which we described this morning in class. That's subtle. Sex desire, subtle lust. Prestige, I'm better than any. No, Krishna's better. Krishna's better. Free from illusion. Illusion means thinking on the body, thinking on this, thinking on that. Understanding, on the other hand, what you are. And free from bad or false association. That's really important. As we mentioned, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that's the first quality of a Vaishnava, satsanga chag. A Vaishnava achar. First quality Vaishnava is give up bad association. And you understand the eternal, understand Krishna. You're free from this material lust. Lust means like to try to enjoy something. It doesn't only mean the sex desire, it means just like to exploit others. If you see others or objects as objects of your enjoyment, you look on someone and you want it, or something and you want it, that's lust. You can lust for some food, not only for a person. I want to enjoy you. And you might as well eat a tiger. A tiger enjoys its meal, you know, pounces on the poor antelope. Lust. That's lust. Anyway, sorry about that. We're freed from the dualities of happiness and distress. In other words, just stable, happiness, distress, sukha, dukkha, dukkha. That's the first lesson of the Gita, remember? Second chapter. And who, unbewildered in their intelligence, they know the goal, know how to surrender to the Supreme Person. How do we know how to surrender to the Supreme Person? Well, we have spiritual master who tells us how to surrender to the Supreme Person. Then we can go to Godhead. We can attain our spiritual identity. Wouldn't that be cool to know who you are in the spiritual world? Even though you're here in this material world, wow, you wouldn't care a fig about anything except to help people understand the same thing. If you actually understood that, nothing in this world would interest you as far as enjoying it. Everything in the world would interest you in terms of bringing people back there, because you'd have compassion. You're enjoying. You understand who you are in the spiritual world. Hey, come with me. Come with me. Don't stay here. Just like the cave analogy that's in Socratic, actually it's Plato's writings about Socrates. The cave analogy. Once upon a time, There were people living in a cave, and all they saw were the shadows in the cave. And they thought the shadows were the real world. It's the darkness and the black and white you see in the cave. So one man in the cave happened to just wandered out of the cave, and he saw, wow, there's sunshine, colors, light. Wow, there's grass and there's mountains. And wow, this is amazing. So this, of course, is an analogy. So he wanders back, or not wanders, he directly goes back in the cave, tracing out his steps to make sure he can get out again. I guess he holds it, puts a string there so to make sure he can get out again. He gets into the cave and tells all of his friends there, hey, buddies. And they say, where you been? And he says, I've seen something amazing. There's a whole world out there. We're not meant to live in this cave. There's so many amazing, beautiful things out there. And they say, shut up. You know, you're crazy. You're touched. You're crazy. Just sit down and go back. Oh, don't go back. And so he, frustrated, tries his best. And maybe he's able to dissuade a few people. Of course, in Socrates' analogy, he doesn't persuade anyone. So, because people cannot understand that. But there is that place. The surrendering process is described very nicely. The first qualification is that one should not be deluded by pride, because the conditioned soul is puffed up. Thinking himself the lord of material nature, it is very difficult for him to surrender to the Supreme Personality, Godhead. One should know by the cultivation of real knowledge that he is not lord of the material nature. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Lord. When one is free from delusion caused by pride, he can begin the process of surrender. For one who is always expecting some honor in this material world, it is not possible to surrender to the Supreme Person. Pride is due to illusion. For although one comes here and stays for a brief time, what do they say? Pride goes before the fall. Stays for a brief time and then goes away. He has the foolish notion that he's the lord of the world. You know, people are proud of their intelligence, people are proud of their beauty, people are proud of their good parentage, etc. He thus makes all things complicated, is always in trouble. The whole world moves under this impression. People are considering the land, this earth, to belong to human society, and they've divided the land under false impression that they are the proprietors. One has to get out of this false notion that human society is the proprietor of the world. When one is freed from such a false notion, he becomes free from all the false associations caused by familial, I mean it's family, social and national affections. God bless America. These faulty associations bind one to this material world. Remember that. After this stage, one has to develop spiritual knowledge. One has to cultivate knowledge of what is actually his own and what is actually not his own. And when one has an understanding of such things as they are, he becomes free from all dual conceptions such as happiness and distress, pleasure and pain. He becomes full in knowledge. Then it is possible for him to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Wow, that is a powerful purport and a powerful verse by Krishna. Very, very powerful. Let me go over the verse again before we end, just so you can see this verse. It's one of my favorite verses, in fact. Nirmana. So nirmana means free of false prestige. It's like we have in the Shikshashtika, amanina manadena. Isn't it? Word you're telling me, amanina manadena. When it has to be amanina, the same thing. But manadena, what does manadena mean? Offering respects to others. So if you really want to be free from false prestige, you offer respects to others, and particularly respect to Krishna. And if someone praises you, instead of thinking, I am great, just attribute that to others, specifically your spiritual master. If someone says to you, boy, you have some spiritual knowledge, Prabhu. It's all Prabhu's mercy. I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance, and by the mercy of my spiritual master, who enlightened me with the torchlight of knowledge. So Jitta Sangha Dosha, avoid bad association. Associate Yatma Nitya, be absorbed in the eternal. In other words, the nine processes of devotional service. Vinivritta Kama, be aware what Kama is. And instead, lust for serving Krishna. Be enthusiastic to serve Krishna. And understand these dualities, dvandvar, vimukta. They're simply binding you in this material world, like happiness and distress. This is what's described here, sukha dukkha samkhya. They're simply binding you. And if you understand that, you will come to the stage, amudha, means someone who is not bewildered, padam. You go to that place, you know, something, padam means foot or place, avyayam, which is inexhaustible, in other words, the spiritual world. And this is a very important verse. Avyayam, here Prabhupada translates as eternal, means also inexhaustible. Then it goes on forever. That's the same as eternal. So, anyway, this wonderful verse, it's actually a verse that I quote quite often. If you want to remember a verse, it's really important. And as far as the Banyan Sri, just remember we're in a reflection of the spiritual world right now. What we think of as love here in this world is actually lust. It's a perverted reflection of the love in the spiritual world, where it's causeless. Causeless love means everybody's trying to serve and please Krishna and Radharani, and they want nothing for themselves. They're not trying to exploit. The love in this world generally is based on what can I get from you? Or what can I get from it? You actually objectify persons through this love. Objectify means you turn persons into objects in your mind rather than subjects. So on that happy note about the material world, sorry about that. Let's take some questions from whoever wants to ask questions. Wait a second. You are now allowed to unmute yourselves. Okay. Anybody have a question? Sumukha, I can see you are enthusiastically biting at the bit.
Yes, please accept my humble message.
Okay.
Gurudev, regarding chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra,
yeah,
at times we chant while listening to classes or you know, kirtan is going on. We are doing two things at a time. So, you know, I don't know if it's right or not right.
You do know.
You want me to
You tell me whether it's right or wrong.
Yes, yes. And also, when we chant...
No, you answer your own question. Hey, answer your own question.
It's wrong.
Okay, got it. So, you answered it. Yeah. All right, so what else?
Okay, so when we chant our rounds inside the bead bag, we walk and chant in the temple compound.
Sometimes the bead bag? You are inside the bead bag when you're chanting your rounds?
My hand's inside the bead bag.
You are not inside the bead bag.
Yes.
That would be very
no.
bad.
So when we... Yes. Sometimes I realize that I am chanting very fast and I finish my rounds very quickly. And maybe I'm actually very fast, you know, in the fingers. So I'm confused, you know. Should I take the beads out and on my lap and then take hold of each bead and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram, then I change the next bead.
Yeah, if you think you're skipping beads, which some people do, then yes, that's a good exercise. Put the beads on your lap and just watch your hands. Make sure you're not skipping beads. So, you know, there's different things you can do in case you're skipping beads.
So when we chant the holy name, what should we be thinking in the mind? Just hear the holy name, or I can think of anything else?
Hear the holy name, and if Krishna manifests, and pray for service, and if Krishna, and think of the holy names, And if Krishna manifests something else, like if he starts dancing in front of you or whatever, you can also appreciate his beauty.
Yeah.
Nama Guna Rupa Lila. Nama. Yeah, Nama Guna Rupa Lila. Yes, that's right. So, yeah, so the main thing is to hear the rounds. I mean, sometimes I chant and I look at a picture of the deities, and that helps me. You know, whatever way it helps you concentrate on the holy name. Other times I'm chanting and saying, Krishna, I can't believe how crazy my disciples are. Save me. And so I'm... sometimes I'm like that. So, you know, Lord Chaitanya tells us what to think. Particularly Prabhupada said we should be like a child crying out for his mother. You know, while we're chanting, we should be chanting, Krishna, save me, help. Right?
Yes, yes.
Yayananda Tunuja Kinkaram Patitamam Vishame Bhavan Bhavan Buddha Kripaya Tapa Pada Pankaja Stita Duli Sadrasam Vajintya. Oh, son of Nanda Maharaj, I'm your eternal servant, and yet somehow or other I've fallen down to this horrible ocean of birth and death. Please help me, fix me as one of the atoms or specks of dust at your lotus feet. Help, help. But we're not chanting like that. We're not chanting for help. We're chanting, I hope I get these rounds finished so I can get on with my real life, which is breakfast. You know, we have the wrong attitude when we're chanting. Our chanting should be, Krishna, help. I'm immersed in this material. If we were honest and introspective, we would see the depths of depravity in our own hearts. Not that it's, of course, we become depressed if we see the depths of depravity. But anyway, we would see what's going on in our own hearts, how selfish we are and how we don't treat the devotees properly and how we are. So many bad qualities. Krishna, help. Oh, Gopinath, Mama Nabeda Nashuna, Vishaya Jurjana. Bhaktivinoda, you should read Bhaktivinoda Thakur's prayers, Gopinath. You know that song?
Yes, Gopinath. Gopinath.
Yeah, I'm a materialistic rascal. Please take this sinner weeping and weeping to your lotus feet. And that's a nice mood to have when you're chanting. But, you know, when we chant, I think I'm a good devotee. You know, I've got it made. You know, after this job is over, then my real life starts. My real life of looking at the news or whatever, or eating prasadam or whatever. Job is the most important thing you do the whole day. Everything else should be secondary to the japa. So have the right mood. That's the main thing. All right, give someone else an opportunity to ask a question now, since you are always asking questions. Who else wants to ask a question or make a statement? I think it is Champakalata's birthday today, so happy birthday. She's 16 years old today, hard to believe. I think it's my first birthday, too, anyway. So, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, everybody. Happy birthday to you. Anyway, so, next month, it'll be my birthday. And actually, when you get older, you don't want to remember your birthday so much because it just means you're getting too old. So anyway, so who else has a question? Question, comment, argument.
Hare Krishna, Gurudev. This is Swapna.
Oh, Hare Krishna, Swapna. It's all right. What's your question?
So when we imagine the tree in the material world, the position of the human beings and the animals and the position of the demigods, should we imagine it inverted, like the demigods are in the bottom and
demigods are a little higher in the tree than us?
I mean, they are higher, but should we imagine it inverted, like an inverted tree?
Yeah, you can imagine it's inverted also.
Oh, okay.
I mean, the thing is, an analogy, I don't think we're really meant to meditate on this tree. The main thing, Krishna, because if I start meditating where everybody is on the tree, I'll forget about Krishna. So the main thing to understand is that this material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. That's all you got to remember. The demigods are actually higher than us. Like Prabhupada said, the demigods are, let's say, first-class prisoners, and we're probably second-class prisoners. Just like in a prison house, or someone ever goes to jail or prison, there's actually prisoners with more rights than other prisoners, and those are like the demigods. They have higher responsibilities. But this the whole point of this description is that we in this world are trying to enjoy a perverted reflection. That's all. You don't really have to worry about who fits where or where the branches are or this or that. Even though the description is there, it's something that's just like you can look at a picture. I believe there's a picture, at least in the old version of the Gita, there was a picture of the tree. So you can actually see where everything is situated. But it's not that I just try to fix the image of the tree in my mind. Okay?
Thank you, Buddha.
Okay. So, who else has a question?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, is Jai Radhika.
Jai Radhika. Oh, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna
All the
Maharaj.
way from Sydney.
Yes. please accept my humble obeisances to you. All glories
So,
to
my
Shri.
blessing.
Thank you very much. So it's just something that I was wondering. Because we know like all the planetary system up and higher and in the middle. And we know that all the living entities are basically depends on the evolution of their consciousness, I believe. So we have like Bhupaswa. So as in like, so my question is basically how come like Yakshasas and Rakshas are above us? Although some of the Yakshasas I know they're pretty powerful, and then
Well, it's not that the Yakshasas and Rakshasas are necessarily better than us or more spiritual than us. They're above us in terms of the powers they have, and also the planetary systems are above us. That's it. You could take it as a not geographical, just like as a, because the word geographical refers to the world, geo. But you could just take it as like a map of the higher and lower planets. They're on a higher level. They have more powers than us, but they are not more necessarily more pious than us.
That makes more sense.
I mean, even with Indra, I would hope that I'm more pious than Indra because I haven't done some of the things that Indra has done. I hope not. I mean, that would be disastrous. So, anyway, today we're talking in class, telling the story in class about Soma, one of the demigods, and he kidnapped his guru's wife. He's a demigod. He kidnapped Brihaspati's wife, and he had a kid by his guru's wife. Oh my God. I mean, phew, can't get worse than that. And then, anyway, we told the whole story about that. It was a story about lust. I'm not going to get into the details because it's not important. So the point is, higher and lower depends on really on how Krishna conscious we are. And that is not exactly coordinated or have anything to do with how. What planet someone is on, or whether someone is a demigod or Rakshasa. For example, Vibhishan is a Rakshasa and he's a pure devotee. And Ravana is a Rakshasa and he's rascal, number one. And they're both on the same planet. Or they both actually came to Lanka. So it depends on one's level of devotion. That's how I see things.
And even like, we have good devotees below planets as well.
Yes. Yeah, there's some demons who were good devotees. I Prahlad Maharaj is a demon.
Prahlad Maharaj is there, Bali Maharaj is there, and
Bali Maharaj is a
Snake is
demon.
there. His snake is there. What's his name?
Snake, yeah. Like the Nagas, some of the Nagas are good, some of them are bad guys. So you can't really, I don't, you know, as far as the location in the universe, cosmology is the right word, the cosmological cosmography is the right word instead of geography. Geography refers to the earth, cosmography refers to the, you know, where in the universe something is, in the cosmos. Mm-hmm. So where the person is or where the entity is in the cosmos has nothing to do with their devotional service.
Okay. Yep.
Devotional service is open to everybody. You can be a demon and be a devotee, or you can be a demigod and be a rascal. Mm-hmm. I mean, look what Indra attacks women, you know, just like, ooh. Mm-hmm. Of course, I don't want to offend him because it'll start raining and then I'm going to have all sorts of problems here. I have to do my Indra Puja. Actually, it's coming up the day for Indra Puja. Most people do Govardhan Puja. I do Indra Puja instead. Actually, I'll tell you a funny story about Indra. When we were first starting our temple here in Nugaloka, 1982, it kept raining and raining and raining. I couldn't do anything. It was mud all over the place. So one day I started yelling at Indra. Didn't do any good. It kept raining too. It shows you should actually worship Krishna and not fool around with the demigods. I actually got so angry with Indra. I think I even threw a stone in the air saying, Indra, you know, just like, ah, you rascal. And it didn't do any good. I was a kid then. When you're a young kid, that's excusable. A young person can get away with any damn thing. And I was immature at that point. And finally reaching the stage of maturity after 50 years in the Hare Krishna movement. So, unless someone else has a question, we'll end here.
Maharaj, Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Oh, Vai Chaitanya. So, you have a question.
Hare Krishna, yes, please accept my humble obeisances.
Send my blessings. So, what's the question?
It's just on the, you know how Krishna is saying that the ultimate point of the Vedas is to really understand him.
Yeah.
But the Vedas are also, you know, interpreted by or misinterpreted by a lot of the Mayavadis to proclaim that the impersonal Brahman is the ultimate. The Vedas, the question is, does the Vedas actually spell out, you know, Krishna's supremacy anywhere?
Yes, they do. The original Vedas do. There's actually things in the Upanishads about worshipping a coward boy. And, you know, if you look in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada gives a lot of quotes from the four Vedas. I mean, for example, there's that verse that's from the Rig Veda that just comes to mind. Om Tad Vishnu Paramampara Pashanti Yat Surya, that yep. states that all the demigods are looking to Vishnu. And Vishnu and Krishna are the same person. And there's other quotes about the coward boy, you know, especially in the Upanishads, you'll find quotes like that. And there's a specific Upanishad dedicated to Krishna called the Gopal Company Upanishad. Anyway, so you'll find information in the original Vedas. Right. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has actually done a thorough analysis of the original Vedas to show that.
Okay.
And in the 15th chapter, which is what we're reading in text 15, Krishna gets very explicit about all the Vedas are meant for knowing him. But if you want to do more research, look in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. There are quite a few quotes about even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what to speak about Krishna. Bhaktivinoda did research on that quite extensively.
Okay, that's great, Maharaj. Okay. I'll have a look.
Okay, so on that happy note, I think it's time to say goodbye to everybody. We'll see everybody tomorrow, same time, same station, and we're going to continue with the study of the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. We're nearing the end of the Bhagavad Gita right now. Not nearing the end. It's 18 chapters. But when we finish reading the Bhagavad Gita, then we're going to go on to the nectar devotion. We should be very ecstatic. Okay, on that happy note, all